Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, the eyes of our understanding is further enlightened in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Our reading from verse 23. Okay, let's go. It says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, okay, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Okay, so we've been examining the concept of the church, amen, for several weeks now, you know, looking at the ecclesia of Christ. Okay, you know, we said that this word ecclesia can be used in two senses. Remember that? The general sense or the local sense. Okay, and we said that this teaching focuses majorly on that local sense, okay, of the church of Christ. Okay, the ecclesia of Christ. Amen. Okay, so you know, we also moved on to examine certain words used to further describe the ecclesia. Amen. You know, we saw that word sunago. Remember that word? Okay, used severally in the book of Acts. Okay, and sunagogue. Amen. Sunago is the verb, okay, which speaks of a coming together. Hallelujah. A gathering. Amen. Then we saw that phrase, epitoutou, which means in one place, used to qualify the gatherings. Okay, so church meetings were done in a place. We saw that, right? In the scriptures. Okay, a specific location. You know, the church is not a building. Amen. But the church would often meet in one. We've said, right? Okay, now that would be a local church. Amen. You know, we also saw a unity within the gatherings. Okay, described by words such as omotumadon, okay, which means of one accord. Okay, then we also saw Paul's sunekomai, okay, which speaks much more of the coming together of the church. You know, we said that in Paul's epistles, there is that motif of oneness, right, of unity. Okay, so we see Paul use that word sunekomai, okay, used 7 times in 1 Corinthians. Okay, as he corrected the excesses in Corinth. Okay, and then we moved on quickly to see the characteristics of a local church. We said that a local church is a body of believers, right? Those who have put faith in Christ. Okay, then we also said that in a local church you find definite leadership. Okay, you see that in Acts 6 there were leaders, amen, in the local church. When there were issues about natural things, food, they knew who to tell, okay, who to ask questions. Okay, you see that in Acts 15, okay, when there were issues about doctrine, they knew who to ask. Okay, so a local church is not where everyone has an opinion. Amen? Okay, they are leaders within the body. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we said that a local church, okay, is a body of Christians believing the same things, right? A local church is a body of Christians believing the same things. We have common faith and practice. And you saw that anyone who refuses to believe what we all believe is called an heretic, right? From hereticos, amen, in the Greek, which means a divisive man, a causer of divisions, okay? And we are admonished by Paul to stay away from such a fellow. Amen. He is trouble. Okay, Paul says reject him. Okay, then we said another characteristic is that the local church is a gathering of Christians to perform some spiritual act. Okay, now that could be several things. Okay, It could be hearing God's word, amen, prayer, okay, the things of the spirit, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, okay, a revelation, singing, okay, you know, we gather together around spiritual things. Okay, I know we also said that nowhere in the scriptures are we told to gather to play football, amen, or watch movies, okay, to play games. You know, not because these were not available in Bible days. They were, right? Okay, that simply shows that our gathering is not for frivolities, but discipleship, just like Jesus instructed, you know, before he left the earth physically. Matthew 28 verse 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples, okay, students, mentees of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20 says, teaching them, okay, to observe the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so Jesus envisions spiritual growth and development in the local church. Okay, the local church is not where we just come together to socialize or to play. No, in the local church is supposed to be our spiritual growth, maturity, and development. Okay, then we said that the local church is a gathering of Christians in a given location. Okay, local means where you are, right? We saw that Paul's epistles were written to specific local churches. No, it would say the church at Rome, right? The saints at Rome, the saints at Corinth, Philippi, you know, and so on and so forth. Okay, then lastly, we said that a local church is a gathering of believers who meet at a regular fixed time. Okay, and you see that with the early church, they met on the first day of the week, right? Okay, to commemorate Jesus' resurrection, okay, as a sign of honor. Okay, but you know, we also saw that they met on other days as well, not just at that first day of the week. I know the reason for a set day, we said, is discipline, right? We meet at this time, okay, on this day. That is a local church. Okay, then we concluded that day. We said that the local church is God's temple, amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you, now you there referring to the entire local church at Corinth, are the temple, okay, in the Nahos, right? The Nahos, the most holy place of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that is in your assembly. And 17 says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Okay, so the local church is God's temple, right? Remember that? His most holy place is Nahos, okay, and he is protective over it. Okay, so we must therefore see the local church as sacred. Okay, then we moved on to see church membership and accountability. Okay, you know, we said that every Christian must be part of some local assembly. Remember that? Okay, you know, we saw from church history that a Christian who refuses to be part of a local church is an aberration, right? That is not what we find in the early church as well as down through church history. Okay, then we moved on quickly. We said that what happens in a local church, right? Why did God give local churches? What is the aim? Okay, in our services, what do we come together to do? You know, we said that word service from proskuneo, right? In the Greek, which means worship. Okay, so any act we do that gives glory to God is worship. Remember that? Is service. Okay, we saw Bible reading. Bible reading is worship. Amen. Okay, the public reading of scripture. Okay, we saw prayer. Prayer is also worship. Okay, we saw Bible teaching. Bible teaching is worship. Singing is worship. You know, giving as well is also worship. Any act done in the local church when we are gathered together that gives glory, honor to God. Okay, that would be worship. Okay, then we stop by asking a question. You know, we said that are politics and charity the duty of the church? Remember that? Okay, and then we said the answer is no. Okay, when you look at the epistles, when you see the epistles talk about charity, they are for church members. Remember that? Giving to a brother, giving to a sister. Amen. And you know, when the epistles give instructions about politics, they are given to citizens, right? Within the local church. Okay, not the church. So the church was not given as a charity or a political organization. Okay, it was given strictly for the building up of the saints, hallelujah, okay, and for reaching out to the world, okay. So basically our salvation and spiritual growth, hallelujah. Okay, so we stopped there in the last service, so we'll just pick up from there quickly now, okay, in this service. So in this service we want to look at leadership within the local church, hallelujah. Leadership within the local church. Now I told you we'll come back here, right, okay, to look at it much more closely. So I want to see what is leadership within the local church. Now let me say this to you, that the church is where we all have the same things. Look at Jude 1:3, okay, Jude 1:3. Jude 1:3, it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation," underline that, common salvation, "I thought it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Okay, so here Jude speaks of our common salvation. Now that word common used here, koinos in the Greek, koinos, speaks of what we all share. Okay, it is our collective possession. So you see that salvation is everyone's. You see that? Within the church, it belongs to everyone. Look at Hebrews 3:1. Look at how the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 3:1. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Hebrews 3:1. It says, "Therefore, holy brethren." Now those are believers, okay, Christians. Holy brethren. It says, "Partakers of the heavenly calling." Underline partakers, okay, of the heavenly calling. It says, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Now that word partakers used here, it speaks of those who share in the same thing, okay, metachos in the Greek. Now that same thing would be the heavenly calling, okay, in context. So that is what we all share, okay, as holy brethren. Okay, so we have all things in common. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. Okay, Ephesians 1:4. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And look at 4. There is one body, underline that. One body and one Spirit, underline that. Okay? "Just as you were called in one hope," underline that, one hope of your calling, one Lord, underline that, one Lord, one faith, okay, underline that, one faith, one baptism, underline that, one baptism, one God, underline that, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see that? So in the church there is one of everything. Do you see that? One means we all have the same things. You see that there? We all have and share in the same things. Okay? We all have the same fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22, okay? Galatians 5:22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Okay, against such there is no law. "And those who are Christ," underline that, very key, "those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Okay, so as many as are Christ have these fruits. You see that? These ones live in the Spirit. They have crucified the flesh. So we all have the same fruits of the Spirit. Not only that, we also have the same gifts of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Okay? "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Underline that, the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Underline that, the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Underline that, the same God who works all in all. And look at 7. But the manifestation, okay, phanerosis, of the Spirit is given to each one. Okay, you can say everyone. Underline that, each one. Okay, for the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But look at 11. But one and the same Spirit. Underline that. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. Underline that. Each one individually as he. Now, who is he? Who is he? Okay, the person, right? Each one. Okay, wills. You see that? So, the gifts are different, but it's the same Spirit which we all have. Do you see that? The same Spirit. So, that Spirit comes to empower everyone who believes. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Underline that. Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see that? Now that power is ready and available in his church today. Hallelujah. Hear that? That power is now available in his church today, in everyone who believes the gospel. Look at Ephesians 1:19. Okay? Ephesians 1:19. Okay? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, right? Remember that word toward, eyes, right? In the Greek, E-I-S, which means in. Hallelujah. Okay? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us? Okay? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Underline that. To the church, or for the benefit of the church. See that? Which is his body. Hallelujah. Underline that. His body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Okay, Paul says similarly there. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Underline that. The power that works in us. Now, who's us? Verse 21. To him be glory where? In the church. That is us. See that? By Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the power of God is at work in his church. Do you see that? Okay? So, there is a oneness. Do you see that now? A oneness of realities within the church. Okay, we all have the same things. You see that now? Same Spirit, right? Same power, right? Same gifts, right? Same fruits, right? Okay, we all have and share in the same things. Now, not only that, we also believe the same things. That is a church. Okay, we believe the same things. Look at Titus 1:4. Okay, Titus 1:4. It says to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Underline that. Our common faith. Okay, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, common faith here would refer to a common pattern of belief. Do you follow that? A common pattern of beliefs. Koine pistin in the Greek. Okay, so you can say common doctrine. Do you follow that? Common doctrine. We are all to believe the same truths. That is the church. Okay, everyone. everyone. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Okay, great is the mystery of godliness. Now that phrase, without controversy, used here in the Greek, it means this is what we all agree to be true. Do you get it? That is what the Greek says. Okay, this is what we all agree to be true. So there is no controversy or dispute about this. Now, what is Paul referring to? He tells us, he says, God was manifested in the flesh. See that? Justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So what is this? The gospel. You see that? The divinity and the incarnation of Jesus. You see that? So the divinity and incarnation of Jesus are core doctrines of the church. Do you see that? Core doctrines. Anyone who doesn't believe in these two cannot be called a Christian. Okay? So we are Christians because we have a similar pattern of belief. Do you see that? So the church puts everyone on the same ground. Do you see that? We are all one and the same. That is the church. Everyone is on the same platform. Okay, our race doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:11. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Ephesians 2:11. Okay, Ephesians 2:11. It says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. Underline that. Gentiles in the flesh. So he's speaking here to non-Jews. You see that? Okay, who are called uncircumcision, underline that, uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Now, those are the Jews. And look at 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And look at 13. But now in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. You who once were far off, now those are the Gentiles, have been brought near. Hallelujah. You see that? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both. Now both what? Jews and Gentiles, one. You see that? Okay. He has made both Jews and Gentiles one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man. Underline that. One new man from the two, that is Jews and Gentiles, okay? Towards making peace. And that he might reconcile them both. Underline that. Okay? Reconcile them both, okay? That is Jews and Gentiles, to God in one body. Hallelujah. Can we call that the church? Okay? Through the cross. Underline one body, okay? Thereby putting to death the enmity. Okay, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and those are the Gentiles, and to those who were near, those are the Jews. Okay, for through him we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have access, hallelujah, by one spirit to the Father. Okay, now see 19. Therefore now you, that is Gentiles, are no longer strangers, hallelujah. Underline that. No longer strangers and foreigners. Underline that, okay? No longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Underline that. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Underline that. Members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together, underline that, together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see that? So in Christ, all ethnic bias is done away with. Do you see that? No one is segregated based on his ethnicities. Praise the Lord. Okay, everyone is equal, having the same things. You see that there? You see that we all have access to God by the Spirit. Verse 18, right? Not only that, we are all fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 19, okay? And then, we are all God's dwelling place. Verse 22, irrespective of our ethnicities. You see that? So you see that in the church, everyone is one. You see that? On the same ground, right? On a level surface, right? Okay? Not only that, our gender doesn't matter. as well. Praise the Lord. Okay, not only race, the color of your skin, also your gender. Praise the Lord. Look at Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. Okay, it says, for you are all, say all, okay, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, underline that, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, underline that, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You see that? Underline that, okay? Neither male nor female, for you are all one. Hallelujah. You see that? In Christ Jesus. So in the church, no one can be discriminated because of his or her gender. Do you see that? That is what there is neither male nor female means there. Okay? So we are all one, amen, sons of God in Christ. Okay? So the church is where all God's people are equal. Do you see that now? We are all the same. Hallelujah. Everyone is on the same ground in the church. Now, but notice that although we are all one, there are some ways we differ. You know, for every general rule, there is an exception. Amen? There are some ways in which we differ. So we are the same, yet we are different in certain ways. Amen? Look at how Paul says this. 1 Corinthians 12:5. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:5. How do we differ? Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:5. It says there are differences of what? Ministries. Underline that. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Okay? And there are diversities, underline that, diversities of activities. Okay? But it is the same God who works all in all. So the ministries within the local church differ. Do you follow that? So although we all have the same realities, we do not all have the same duties in the body. Do you see that? So our responsibilities differ. Our tasks, our duties, they are different. You see that Paul makes use of an imagery of body parts to explain this. Okay, look at verse 12 of that same chapter. Verse 12. It says, for as the body is one. Now I want you to pay very close attention to this, okay? For as the body is one, underline one, okay? And has many members, underline that, many members. Now, members, there are organs. Do you get it? Your eyes, right? Nose, leg, amen? But all the members of that one body, underline members, okay? Being many, are one body. Now, look at this. So also is Christ. Underline that. So also is Christ. Or you can say, the body of Christ. Do you get it? Okay? Now, look at 13. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Underline that, one body. Can we say the body of Christ? Okay, thank you. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, underline that, okay? Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink one Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay? For in fact, the body is not one member or one organ, but many. You see that? That is, the body doesn't just have one organ, right? But several. Now you see that verse 15 explains further. Verse 15. It says, if the foot should say, because I'm not an hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Right? And if the hair should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So, a rhetorical question, right? Okay? But now God has set the members, underline that, the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Very important. Underline that. Just as he pleased, okay? And if they were all one member, where would the body be, right? Imagine if your entire body was your eye, right? And look at 20. But now indeed they are what? Many members, yet what? One body. Hallelujah. Underline many members, okay, and one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you, okay? No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division, okay, in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Look at 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Underline that. Members individually. Members individually means that we do not all play the same role. Do you get it? We do not all play the same role. There are different functions within the local church. So Paul here uses body organs, body parts, to teach different responsibilities. You know, the organs in the human body all perform different functions, right? Different roles. But they are all still part of the same body. So also in the body of Christ. Do you get it now? So we are members individually, that is, we function differently, but it is the same body. Do you get it? Okay, so the fact that the heart has a different function from the brain doesn't mean it is not part of the body. Do you get it? They only differ in what? Responsibility. Do you see that? Task. Now the same with the Church of Christ. You see that in Romans chapter 12, Paul calls this a measure of faith. Amen. A measure of faith. Let's see that. Romans 12:3. Okay. Romans 12:3. Okay. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you." Now look at this. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Underline that. A measure of faith. So you know what Paul is saying here? He's saying, don't see yourself higher than your function. You see that? Don't see yourself higher than your function. Stay with the measure of faith that God has given to you. Now what will be that measure? It will refer to that particular ministry that the Lord has called you to. Do you follow that? That is the measure of faith, the particular ministry that the Lord has called you to. And you see that he goes on to explain in verse 4. Let's see that. Verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members or organs," right? "In one body, but all the members," now look at this, "do not all have the same function." Underline that. Do not all have the same function. So we, that is the point. Do you get it now? So we, that is the church, right? "Being many, are one body in Christ." Hallelujah. Underline that. One body in Christ. Underline "so we," okay? "And individually members of one another." Underline "individually." Okay? Individually means we have different tasks. Okay? So one body, but different organs. That is the measure of faith. Okay? Then Paul goes on to call it gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Look at verse 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Underline "are gifts differing," okay? "And given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Can we say in proportion to our ministry? Huh? Thank you very much. So now he's no longer discussing our gifts of the Spirit here. He's discussing what? Ministry gifts. Do you see that? Okay. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. "He who teaches in teaching." You see that? "He who exhorts in exhortation." "He who gives with liberality." "He who leads with diligence." "He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So there are different gifts for ministry. Okay. What today we call ministry gifts. Okay. Different gifts for ministry. We are one, but we are different at the same time. Do you see that now? Okay, so our oneness in the church is within a context. When we say we are one, it is within a context. Okay, we are one in relation to our new creation realities and our new creation responsibilities. Amen. Okay, for a clearer understanding of this, get that teaching, how why hearing God's word is so important. Okay, we explain this very well there. Amen. That is how we are warned. Okay, in relation to new creation realities and new creation responsibilities. But we are not all the same in the local church. Do you see that now? Okay, that difference will be in our roles. Okay, our duties, our tasks, our responsibilities. So Paul taught equality within the local church, right? And then different ministries within that equality. Do you see that now? You see that in Philippians 1:1, Paul makes a distinction between the saints at Philippi and their leaders. Let's see that. Philippians 1:1. Okay, Philippians 1:1. It says, Paul and Timothy, born servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Who are in Philippi. Now look at this. With, right? The bishops and deacons. Underline that. With the bishops and deacons. You see that? So he distinguishes the leaders and recognizes them specially. Do you follow that? Okay, it makes a difference. That word with, it translates the Greek soon, S-U-N, in the Greek, okay, soon, which means together with. Together with. So, within the Church of Saints, there are the bishops and the deacons. Okay, the bishops and the deacons are still a part of the church. That is what soon means. Okay, remember it means what? Together with, right? Okay, so they are still a part of the church. Only that their roles differ. Do you see that now? Okay, they have a different responsibility from the assembly of the saints. Now, the bishop is an overseer. One who rules or governs. Then he has helpers, okay? Assistants known as deacons. Now, the bishop and the deacons are part of the local church. But they are set apart within the local church to lead. Do you see that? So, apart, right? But set apart. Do you get it? So, here we find Paul distinguish between laity and leadership. There is a difference. Okay? We are not all the same. Now, note that every leader within the local church is, first of all, a church member. Amen? The leaders are first of all members of the congregation. Then when they prove themselves faithful, more responsibility is given to them. You see that the parables of Jesus show this principle. See Matthew 25:20. Okay? The parables of Jesus show this principle. Matthew 25:20. Just turn the Bible there quickly. Matthew 25:20, okay? It says, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have what? Gained 5 more. Underline that. I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. Underline that. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Underline that. Faithful over a few things. Okay? I will make you ruler over many things. Underline that. Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see that? So, in the kingdom of Jesus, he who is faithful with little will be made ruler of many things. Do you see that? That is the principle in Jesus' kingdom. When you give a man little and he is faithful with that little, more will be given to him. Okay? Faithfulness is how we determine who leads. You follow that in the local church? Faithfulness is how we determine who leads. Okay? Same with Luke 16:10. Please turn there. Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least, underline that, okay? Faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Underline that. Faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least, underline that, unjust in what is least, he's also unjust also in much. Underline that. Unjust also in much. Very clear, right? Very clear, right? So we cannot trust someone with much who has not proven himself faithful in little. You see that there? Okay, a man who has not proven himself faithful with little cannot be trusted and trusted with much. You see that? So in the kingdom of Jesus, how do we pick leaders? Faithfulness. You see that? Now, not only that, leaders in the local church must not be new converts. Amen? They must not be new converts. Look at 1 Timothy 3:6. Look at how Paul says it there. 1 Timothy 3:6. Now here, Paul gives qualifications for leaders. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:6. Look at what Paul says. It says, not a novice. Underline that. Not a novice. Okay? Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Okay? So Paul wants Timothy here not to appoint an immature Christian. You see that? Into leadership. That is the novice here. Okay? Neophutos in the Greek. Okay? N-E-O-P-H-U-T-O-S. Okay, which means one recently converted to Christianity. That same word was used for immature plants in the Septuagint. Okay, one that is just sprouting. Okay, just growing. So Paul says here, don't appoint a believer who is not spiritually mature as a leader. You see that? Don't. You see that Paul says it another way in chapter 5 of that same book, 1 Timothy. Let's see that. 1 Timothy 5:22. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:22. It says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Underline that, hastily, okay? Nor share in others' sins. Keep yourself pure. Now, what does it mean, don't lay hands on anyone hastily? Now, laying of hands was used in Bible days to ordain leaders. Amen? See Acts 6:6. Now remember, there are deacons were going to be appointed, right? In Acts 6:6. Okay? Deacons were to be appointed, to be ordained. Let's see that quickly, okay? Acts 6:6. It says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they did what? They laid hands on them. Underline that. They laid hands on them. Can we say they are appointed them? Huh? Gave them leadership roles. Okay, so Paul is saying, don't appoint anyone to leadership hastily. That's what it means, don't lay hands on anyone hastily. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do you get it now? Okay, so don't rush into appointing leaders. Do you get it? They must be tested first. Hallelujah. Leaders must first be followers. Okay, they must be spiritually mature. You know what this means? This means that we observe them over time. You know, over time doesn't mean 1 year. Amen? Doesn't mean 2 years. Doesn't mean 5 years. Hallelujah. Over time. Okay? To see whether they truly merit that role. So you look at them, right? You give instructions. Does he obey instructions? How is he like in church? Okay? So leaders within the local church are first of all members who are then given special roles after they pass the test of faithfulness. Do you get it? Leaders within the local church are first of all members who are then given special roles when they pass the test of faithfulness. So leaders assume a different position within the local church. You see that? But the qualification is what? Primarily faithfulness. You must be faithful. Do you see that now? So do you see that it's clear in the epistles that we are not all the same? Amen. You see the beauty of the church? We are all the same, but we are not all the same. Do you see that now? Okay, there are those who have been appointed, ordained, okay, set apart to lead. Now let's move on quickly, okay, to another subheading. Let's see the pastor as the leader in the local church. Okay, the pastor as the leader in the local church. Now, the leader within the local church is known as the pastor. Amen. That word pastor means shepherd. Okay, literally it means shepherd. Now, as the pastor or shepherd, he leads the flock of God. See how Peter says this, 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5:1. First Peter 5:1. Okay, it says the elders, underline elders, okay, who among you I exhort. Okay, so he's speaking to pastors, right? Okay, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And look at 2, shepherd the flock of God. Speaking to pastors, underline that, okay? Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as what? Overseers, underline that, overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, okay? Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, underline that, entrusted to you, okay? But being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd, that is Jesus, okay, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, observe here how the pastor is described. Now, first of all, he's an elder, verse 1. Okay, so my bullet point here, he's an elder, verse 1. Presbyteros in the Greek. Presbyteros. Okay, Presbyteros. Okay, presbyteros, which means one who presides over an assembly. Okay, one who presides over an assembly. You can say a president. That is the word elder used there, okay? He exercises authority and control. Okay, that is an elder. Now, secondly, he's called or described as a shepherd of God's flock. Verse 2. Okay, a shepherd. Verse 2. Poimano in the Greek. Shepherd. Poimano. P-O-I-M-A-I-N-O. P-O-I-M-A-I-N-O, the last O accentuated, which means that he feeds, guards, and guides sheep. Okay, he nourishes them and leads them on where to go. Now, the sheep here would be God's people, right? The church of Christ. Then next, one serving as an overseer. Verse 2. One serving as an overseer. Episkopio in the Greek. Okay? E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E-O. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E-O. The last O accentuated, which means one who exercises oversight. Okay? One who inspects, looks after, and cares for the flock of God. That is the pastor. Do you see that? Then next, the flock are entrusted to him. Verse 3. Okay, entrusted to him. That is kleros in the Greek. K-L-E-R-O-S. The E accentuated. That is, the flock are put in his care. Okay, so he has been assigned with the duty of care and oversight over them. So, the pastor looks out for God's people. Do you see that now? He is a shepherd. In Acts 20, Paul says this to the Ephesian leaders. Let's see that. Acts 20:28. Okay, it says it to the elders at Ephesus. Acts 20:28. Please turn there quickly. Acts 20:28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Underline that. All the flock. Now, literal or figurative? Huh? Figurative, right? Okay. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Overseers. Underline that. Overseers. To shepherd the church of God. Underline that. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You see that? A pastor, therefore, is an overseer. One who supervises, guides, and directs. Just like a shepherd does the sheep. You see that now? You see that John 10 describes this role. Let's see that. John 10:3-4. John 10:3-4. It describes this role of a shepherd. John 10:3. It says, to him that is the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and what? Leads them out. Underline that. Leads them out. Can we call that guidance? Okay. And when he brings out his own sheep, underline that, his own sheep, He goes before them. Underline that. Goes before them. And what? The sheep follow him. Underline that. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, this is the relationship between shepherd and sheep. You see that? The shepherd leads, and the sheep have the responsibility to follow. Do you see that? So, he goes before, right? Right? He guides, right? Okay? And the sheep follow. You see that a pastor is also called a bishop. Amen. Now, that is the Greek equivalent of shepherd. You know, shepherd is more Jewish. Amen. You know, when you say shepherd, that speaks of the Jewish culture. But bishop is more Greek. You follow that? Paul used bishop because he was talking to our Gentile churches. Do you get it? So he used what they would understand. So when Paul speaks to our Jews, Paul would say shepherd, right? Because they understand what that means, right? But for the Greek, Paul would say bishop. Okay, the episcopos. Because that was like, in those days, it was like the ruler of a town. So Paul uses that same word for the pastor. Just to foster understanding, okay, in the mind of his audience. Philippians 1:1. It says, Paul and Timothy were here earlier on, born servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. With what? The bishops and deacons. Underline that, bishops. Those are the pastors. Okay, see 1 Timothy 3:1. 1 Timothy 3:1. I know today bishop means something else, right? I know you can tell with the white clothes. Hallelujah. But in Bible, the bishop is the pastor. Do you get it? An overseer of the assembly. See 1 Timothy 3:1. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop. Underline that. The position of a bishop. Can we say the position of a pastor? Okay. He desires a good work. Hallelujah. So being a pastor is a good work. Amen. Okay. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Okay. See Titus 1:7. That is a pastor. Titus 1:7. Okay. It says, for a bishop, underline that, bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Okay, that word bishop, episcopos in the Greek, from which we get our English word episcopalian, right, means overseer. Okay, the word bishop means he's the one charged with making decisions in the local church. Okay, that is the bishop. So the local church is not a democracy. Amen. Where, you know, a government for the people. Amen. By the people. Amen. Whereby everyone's opinions are allowed. No. In the local church, the pastor is the overseer. Do you get it? So definite leadership. Right, I told you the local church is not where we are all leaders. Amen. Okay, so there is the pastor, who is the bishop, right? The overseer. So what he says goes. Amen? That is the pastor. Now, sometimes the congregation might like what he says. Other times, they might not. Amen? But it is not up to them to decide the direction the church goes. That is for the pastor to decide. He leads the church. Do you follow that? He rules over God's people. Look at 1 Timothy 3:4. Okay, the pastor rules over God's people. 1 Timothy 3:4. You see that here, Paul gives qualifications for a pastor. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:4. Please turn there quickly. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy 3:4. It says, one who rules his own house well. Underline that. Rules his own house well, having his children in submission. Underline that. In submission with all reverence. And look at 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, underline that, okay? Rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Underline that. Take care of the church of God. Now, did you spot that? Huh? You see that here, Paul draws a comparison. Did you see that? The same way the husband rules over his home, the pastor rules over the church. Did you see that? Okay, now the same way children are to submit to their father, So the congregation is to submit to the apostle. Do you see that there? Okay, you see that in verse 4. So that is the pastor. He rules over the people of God. Okay, you see that the word elder is also used to describe the office of the pastor. Okay, he is an elder. Okay, see Acts 14:23. Now I know elder again today means in some churches, it just means that Baba in church that has put belly, amen, and gives very large envelopes for offering. Say elder, Pa James, hallelujah. Elder in scripture is the office of the pastor. Do you get it? So you see that several things we've been taught was wrong. You see that? Our practices have been faulty in several areas. Look at Acts 14:23. So we need to go back to the Bible and Bible pattern. Acts 14:23. It says, so when they had appointed elders, underline that, elders in every church, can we say pastors? Okay, leaders, can we say? Okay, in every church, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Okay, so elders, pastors were appointed in the churches. Look at Acts 20:17. Acts 20:17. It says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for what? The elders of the church. Underline that. The elders of the church. Now those were the pastors. Okay? See 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Okay, it says, let the elders, underline that, elders who rule well, underline that, rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. See that? Especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So the elders, the pastors who labor well in doctrine are worthy of double honor. Okay, you see that verse 19 speaks of the elder again. Verse 19. It says, do not receive an accusation against an elder. Underline that. An elder, okay? Except from two or three witnesses. Now see Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5. Titus 1:5. It says, for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders, underline that, appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. See James 5:14. James 5:14. Okay, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, underline that, the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him in the name of the Lord Jesus with oil. So you see that the elders are those that you call when things go wrong. Amen. You see that? In the local church. See 1 Peter 5:1. 1 Peter 5:1. It says, the elders, underline that, elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now that word elder means president, we said, right? One who rules. Okay, so he's in charge within the local assembly. Okay, so the duty of the pastor, therefore, is to lead. Amen? To guide. And the duty of the church is to follow, obey, and submit to his leadership. Is that clear? Huh? From the epistles, is that clear? Okay, see 1 Thessalonians 5:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Okay? And we urge you, brethren, to recognize, underline that, recognize. The Greek says to know and appreciate. Okay, that is recognized there, okay? To know and appreciate. Okay, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Underline that. Over you in the Lord and admonish you. So you see, in the local church, there are those who are over, right? Others in the Lord. Amen. That word over translates the Greek proistemi. Okay, proistemi. That's P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I. P-R-O-I-S-T-E-M-I. Which means to take the lead. Okay, to take the lead, to superintend, to direct. Now, those are the pastors. Okay, so there are those who take the lead within the local church. Paul says to recognize them. Do you see that there? Do you see that there? Okay, it continues in verse 13 of that same chapter. It says, and to esteem them very highly in love. Underline that. Esteem them very highly in love. For their works sake, be at peace among yourselves. You see that? So, the pastors lead, the congregation follow, recognize, and appreciate. Is that clear? Okay, see 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Underline that. Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, who gives this double honor? The church. Amen? The members, the parishioners, they have the task, the duty to bestow on the leaders, the elders, this double honor. Look at how the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 13:7. It says, remember. Say remember. Okay, underline that. Remember. Those who rule over you. Underline that. Rule over you. Those are the pastors, okay? Who have spoken the word of God to you. Okay? Underline spoken the word of God, okay? Whose faith follow. Underline that. Whose faith follow. Considering the outcome of their conduct. Those are the leaders. Okay? Now see verse 17. It says obey. Say obey. Say obey. Underline that, okay? Obey those who rule over you. Underline that. Rule over you. And be submissive. Underline that. Be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that will be unprofitable for you. You see that? So, the pastors rule. The church members obey and are submissive. That is Bible pattern. Do you see that? So, strictly speaking, we are not all the same in the local church. Do you see that now? Strictly speaking, there are those who rule. Amen? There are those who rule. That word rule used here, Hebrews 13:17, is quite interesting in the Greek. Quite interesting. It's the word egeomai. Okay? Egeomai. That's H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. The E after H accentuated. It means to lead the way. Okay? To lead the way. To go before as chief. Amen? To go before as chief. Now this word egeomai has a cognate. Okay? So similar words. Egemon. That is its cognate. Okay? Egemon. That's H-E-G-E-M-O-N. Okay? The E after H accentuated. The O after M also accentuated. Now that word egemon, the cognate of egeomai, it was used in classical Greek for a state governor, okay, or official who leads others. You follow that? A state governor or official who leads others, such as a military commander. Okay, one who has the most influence in a place. You see that same word, egeomai, was used in Acts 7:10 for Joseph, who became prime minister of Egypt. Let's see that. Acts 7:10. The same word. Okay? Acts 7:10. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 7:10. As we begin to close gradually now. Acts 7:10. It says, and delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him what? A governor. Egeomai in the Greek. Okay, governor. That is the ruling one. Do you get it? Over Egypt and all his house. Do you see that? The same word used for governor. Now, it's the same Greek word used to describe pastors. Hebrews 13:17. Do you see that? Those who rule. Now that speaks of authority. Right? So God has given pastors full authority over his church. The pastors have the most influence in the assemblies. Do you see that? And because of their authority, the pastors deserve our full compliance. Okay, we are to submit to them and to obey them. Like I tell you, the pastor calls the shots. amen, in the local church is responsible for the decisions and the doctrine within the local church. So to submit to our spiritual leaders is to submit to their decisions and their teachings. Amen. Don't submit to a pastor whose decisions and doctrine you are not willing to submit to. Do you follow that? So we submit to their patterns. Hallelujah. Their teachings, their decisions. Amen. What they say is right. Praise the Lord. Okay, not only that, we are also to follow their example. See 1 Corinthians 11:1. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. You see that? Now, Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. So, part of followership is to copy your pastor's lifestyle. You see that? Amen. How we praise, amen. How we teaches, amen. How we studies is love walk. So Paul says to them, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Okay? Not only that, in addition to obedience and imitation, we are also to pray for our pastors. Okay? Pray for them. So far what have we seen? Obey them, right? Be submissive, right? Okay? What else? Follow their pattern, right? Okay? Now also pray for them. Now in the epistles, you find several examples of leaders praying for the church members. Amen? You find the spiritual leaders pray for the church members severally in the epistles. Now let's see a few of them. Let's run through now, okay? Please have your Bible handy. We're running through now. Romans 1:9. Okay? Romans 1:9. Paul here. Romans 1:9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Underline that. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now this is Paul toward the church at Rome. So he prayed for them. You see that? Okay. See Ephesians 1:15. Ephesians 1:15. Okay, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you. What? Making mention of you in my prayers. Underline that. Making mention of you in my prayers. So here, Paul prays for the saints at Ephesus. You see that? Okay, Philippians 1:3. Philippians 1:3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all. Underline that. Okay, with joy. The entirety of verse 4. Okay, underline that. So here, Paul prays for Christians at Philippi. You see that he also prayed for those at Colossae. Look at Colossians 1:3. Colossians 1:3. Colossians 1:3. It says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Underline that. Praying always for you. Now see verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Underline that. Do not cease to pray for you and to ask. That is prayer. Okay, underline that. Ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not only these, then those at Thessalonica. Okay, those at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. It says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Underline that. Making mention of you in our prayers. Then 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Okay, it says, therefore, we also pray always for you. Underline that. We also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Okay, so the leaders prayed for the followers. Do you see that in the epistles? Okay, those who ruled prayed for the ruled. Do you see that? However, you find that prayer was never one-sided in the epistles. Amen. The leaders prayed for the followers, but the followers were also to pray for the leaders. Okay? You see that Paul would often say, pray for us. Amen? See, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Okay? Quickly. Verse 25. It says, brethren, pray for us. You see that? Us here are the spiritual leaders. Okay? See 2 Thessalonians 3:1. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Okay, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Underline that. Pray for us that the word of God may run swiftly. Underline that. Run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered. Underline that. Delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all our faith. Look at Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. Okay, it says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers. Underline that. Strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Underline that. For me. Okay? That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I might come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. You see that? Okay, the writer of Hebrews 2, see Hebrews 13:18. Hebrews 13:18. It says, pray for us. Underline that. Pray for us. Okay, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. So our leaders need our prayers too. You see that there? Now, question is, what exactly are we to pray for them? What exactly? You know, some people don't know. Have you seen church members pray the Pauline prayers for their pastors? You are rude. Amen. You say, I'm praying for my pastor, the eyes of pastor be enlightened. You are rude. That prayer was made by the leader for the church. Do you get it? Okay, there are specific things in the epistles you are to pray for your leaders. Do you get this? So, the Pauline prayers, the leaders will pray for you, right? Then you pray for yourself, right? Okay? But you don't pray for the leaders. There are specific things to pray for them. Now, you may bullet point here. First of all, we are to pray for boldness and utterance for them as they preach. Okay? Boldness and utterance. Look at Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Okay? It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And look at 19. And for me. Can we say pray for me? Okay? Look at this. That. So this is the prayer point. You get it? Utterance may be given to me. Underline that. Okay, utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly. Underline that. That I may open my mouth boldly, okay, to make known the mystery of the gospel, from which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. Underline that. I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you see, utterance and boldness. Hallelujah. Not only that, we are also to pray that doors are open for them to preach. Okay? That more opportunities are open for our leaders to reach the world with the gospel. Look at Colossians 4:2. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. Okay? It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us. And look at this. That. So the prayer point, right? That God would open to us a door for the word. Underline that. That God would open to us a door for the word. Okay? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in chains. Okay? That I might make it manifest. Underline that. Make it manifest or known as I ought. Underline that. As I ought to speak. Okay, so you should pray that more people will hear your pastor's preaching. You see that there? Okay, that his message will reach every nation of the world. Okay, that doors of opportunities will be open to his ministry. So we should pray that the word of God runs swiftly with our pastors. Those are the things to pray for. Do you see that now? Okay, next bullet point here. Okay, we should also pray for their preaching. Okay, that it is clear and understandable. Clear and understandable. Look at Colossians 4:3. Okay, Colossians 4:3. It says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for in which I am also in chains, that I might make it manifest. Underline that. Make it manifest or clear. Okay, as I ought to speak. So you can pray for your pastor that his preaching is clear. That's what it means here. Make it manifest. You get it? Understandable. Okay. Also, that his preaching is courageous and accompanied with signs and wonders. Look at Acts 4:29. Acts 4:29. Praise the Lord. Acts 4:29. It says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, underline that, with all boldness, they may speak your word. Do you see that? Okay, underline that. May speak your word, okay, by stretching out your hand to heal. Underline that, to heal. And that signs and wonders, underline that, signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay, so we are to pray for our pastors to be much more effective in their ministries. You know, the better they are, the more they can bless us. Amen. So, you know, like I tell you, any person not praying for his pastor is shooting himself in the leg. Amen. The better he is, the more he can bless you. Now, next bullet point here, we are also to pray for their perseverance in times of trial. How many of you know pastors go through a lot? How many of you know that? Leaders go through a lot. Okay, so we are to pray for our pastors for their perseverance in times of trial. Okay, let me say this to you, that once a scandal arises about your pastor, that is not the time to start gossip. Do you get it? Start praying. Do you follow this? Start praying. You see that Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke 22. Luke 22:31. Okay, Luke 22:31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But look at 32. But I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. You see that? So Jesus prayed for Peter. Now what did he pray? That. Do you get it? Your faith should not fail. Underline that. That. Your faith should not fail. And when you have been returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail. Now remember that Peter would later become a leader in the church, right? Okay. So we can pray for our leaders that their faith won't fail. Okay, that they won't give up or grow weary. You know, if they don't give up, they can strengthen us also. Praise the Lord. So you see the chain reaction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, then next bullet point here, we are to pray for their deliverance from evil and opposition. Okay, their deliverance from evil and opposition. See 2 Corinthians 1:9. You know, people don't like your pastor. People are fond of saying bad things about the man. See, as a congregation, if you're under the sound of my voice, give yourself some sense. Okay, start praying for the man. Do you get this? Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:9. It says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Look at 10. Who has delivered us from such great a death. Underline that. Delivered us from such great death, and does deliver us. Underline that. Does deliver us, and whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Underline that. He will still deliver us. And look at 11. You also helping together in prayer for us. Now that is how the deliverance will come. Can you follow that? Okay. Underline that. Helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So they were delivered from death because the church prayed. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, so we can pray for our leaders to be delivered from opposition. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19, okay? Philippians 1:19. It says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." Look at this. "Through your prayer." Underline that. "Through your prayer." And that is right. Right? Kai. Okay? "The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now remember that this epistle is called a prison epistle, right? Because Paul was in prison here when he wrote this epistle. Now look at what Paul says here. He is confident that he will be set free if only the church will pray. Do you see that? That is deliverance here. Freedom from prison. So he's confident. He tells the church, okay, he says, "If you only pray, I will be delivered." And we are told by Bible scholars that he was later released. Hallelujah. Okay, so that prayer worked. Do you see that? So we can supply the Spirit, amen, to our spiritual leaders. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we pray for them, amen. Say, "I pray for my pastor." Say, "I pray," come on, "for my pastor." Praise the Lord. Okay, then lastly here, the church also must meet the needs of the pastor. Amen. The church also must meet the needs of their pastor. Look at 1 Timothy 5:17 again. 1 Timothy 5:17. Okay, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor." Underline that. Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, double honor here means double salary in the Greek. So, the pastor who is teaching well is worthy of double the salary people usually get. Do you see that there? So, you must not muzzle your pastor. Look at verse 18. Okay, it says, "For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain." Do you see that? "And the laborer is worthy of his wages." So don't stop him from feeding as he blesses you. That is what that means. Okay, so God's word teaches putting the pastor on a good salary. Do you see that? Do you see that there? Clear. So what are our duties toward our pastors? So far, what have we seen? Obey them, right? Be submissive, right? What else? Imitate, amen. What else? Pray, right? And then give to them. Hallelujah. The highest authority within the local church structure is therefore that of the pastor. Do you see that now? Okay, God has put him there to lead his people. And his people in turn must obey, submit, and honor him as they would the Lord. Okay? Like I tell you, you cannot claim to honor God and dishonor the pastor that he put in charge. Praise the Lord. So did you learn? Okay, did you learn? Okay, so lift up your hands. We continue from here in the next service. Just give him praise. Thank him.